Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
What's up, tigers? It's March now. How great is that? Welcome to a wildly silly episode with wildly funny comedian Tim Renkow. I know him from the stand-up circuit, but I bet you know him from his beautiful and hilarious sitcom Jerk, which is about to come out. The third series of that is about to come out on the 13th in just a few days. It's really, really funny. Everything he touches is, as you are about to hear. First up, I've got a small flurry of thanks to do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling people about this podcast. It means more than money. Also, thanks so flipping hard if you are my patron. You keep the podcast afloat. It doesn't make enough money from ads to cover its costs because I say no to things like adverts for salad cream that you can squirt into your mouth like a fucking monster to save on calories. Anyway, thanks. Thanks for being my patron. Thanks for subscribing if you do that. And thanks for following us if you do that on at the Hoovering Pod on social media. And thanks for sending hilarious answers to our questions. More on that later. Thanks so much if you came to Hoovering Live in Leicester last month. What a lovely, funny whopper that was. Thanks. Basically, I just want to say thanks. If you're not already a patron, have a peek at the excellent shit you can get for being one. If you like bespoke messages, early and ad-free access to episodes, please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. Those guys are currently enjoying a whole party episode that's initially just for them to celebrate Hoovering having recently turned 5 years old. You've got two chances left to see my stand-up show Wench ever. This is the last times I'm ever doing it live. They're happening right now if you're listening as this has just come out. Soho Theatre on the 10th and the 11th of March. I'd love to have you there. Tickets for all those exciting things are available via my website, jessicafostercue.com. Okay, Tim and me are eating lunch from Danish bakery Olli and Steen, and we met in a little studio space in Tottenham Court Road.
I just got us lunch from Olli and Steen. I don't know which you're going to want, so there's a... What is that? That's a chicken Caesar sandwich on rye. This is called a cinnamon social.
Yeah, that's literally my favourite.
Is it?
Yeah.
Great. And then that, I took a picture of the name, and I'll have to look it up and try and pronounce it wrong.
Called a Spandauer. It's a custard thing.
And then in there, they call it a breakfast roll, but it's like a seedy cheese roll. And this is a hot one, like cheese and mushroom focaccia thing. I will let you.
That would be the least messy.
Okay. So that's going to be this guy.
Yeah, that's definitely out.
Yeah. Are you that? Do you like? Or would you rather have a hot one? Do you mind if I touch it?
Ew.
Hot one?
Yeah, I'll do the hot one.
Hot one? You do that one. There's apple juice, orange juice, or carrot.
I would like carrot.
Would you really?
Yes.
Okay. Tim, I can't believe you've picked carrot juice.
Yeah.
You've changed.
My stomach's fat.
Oh, is
and
it?
I'm old, so...
I don't think you're older than me.
But I live in cripple years. that's like dog years.
Shall we try our sandwich? Maybe we try our sandwich.
Ooh. Yeah. Like ASMR,
yeah.
Like, do they want a really crunchy?
Yeah, perverts want all the noise, all the mess.
Mmm.
Mmm. Yum. Oh, that's really good. I like rye bread.
Yeah.
Good. I'm into it.
I like Austin.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's my favourite place to, it used to be Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
Before I realised how evil the man was that owned them.
Yeah.
And now Ollienstein's my favourite place to work in town for endless coffees. But they've got signs up now that I find a little bit passag that say, please don't sit here all fucking day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It even says fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You fuck off.
Yeah. You just bought one coffee. You type fucks.
When I first moved here, my parents' favourite breakfast spot was Wetherspoons.
Was it?
And then they realised that everyone else were alcoholics. 8 in the morning.
Just like old Irish men having so terrible sad arguments. Yeah. It's so bleak.
Yeah.
But it does do quite a good breakfast for about 50p.
Yes, yeah, so cute.
Yeah.
I can imagine it being a good place to write. It'd just be like, knowing you're not doing the worst in the room.
Yeah, it's so nice to know you're not doing the worst in the room.
Yeah.
That's so true, actually. Yeah. in your series, Jerk, your character takes some free food intended for refugees. Have you ever done anything that despicable in real life?
Probably.
Yeah.
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 I mean, if I didn't, it's not for lack of effort.
Yeah.
Lack of opportunity. I would absolutely take free food from refugees.
Yeah, fair enough. Even children or...
Especially when I would do is when we first started out.
Well, yeah.
I don't know about you, you're probably more of a human than I am. But when I first started out, I just had no money for food even.
Yeah, yeah.
So my trick was at open mics. I would find the rich kid that was trying an open mic and music open mic.
Yeah.
A bit of a listening comedy. But you sat next to the rich kid and you would always order food.
Yeah.
And then not eat it. And then you could just be like, are you gonna eat that? And then when he said no,
yes,
take half, eat in food.
That's such a good shout.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something even worse than that.
No, like, it's not that bad.
I love rye bread. If I buy rye bread from a supermarket, though, it tastes like shit if I try and make something with it. But if I get it from Ollienstein, yeah, I'm having a nice time. What's that voodoo? Okay, so what? In that note, okay, we were all so skimp when we first started. The skintest I've ever been was in university halls, and I ate the saddest thing I ate, and it was all like it was. I ran out of money, and it was my bad. Like I worked two jobs all through uni halls, yeah. And I had a loan and everything, but it just went like. And it got to the point, this is so bad, but there was one time where I prioritised cigarettes over food. And, like, the next day was so hungry, and the only thing I could afford was, like, it was in the knockoff section because it was a good week out of date. It was, like, you used to get these horrible, cold-filled pita breads from, like, corner shops. Yeah. And it was, like, ancient chicken.
Yeah.
That was... And it... I did it. I bought that and ate that because it was reduced to, like, 30p.
When I first moved here, I was friends with this Irish guy who also just moved here. And we went insane. And we decided to have a competition who could spend the least on food.
Oh, nice.
And we got down to £5 a week.
Whoa.
On food.
Whoa.
And then his dad came over and we just looked at us and went, what the fuck are you going to do? Made us get groceries.
Oh, God, thank God. Because you were saving your money for beer and fat.
That was the thing. Like, because I don't drink a smoke, so I was literally saving my money for no reason.
Tim.
It was just a competition.
Yeah. You're a competitive man.
Yeah, I'm a competitive man.
So do you think, well, again, maybe we've covered it, but do you think you've ever had to eat anything memorable as part of being a comedian or an actor?
Whenever you see people eating on set, on camera, they are having the worst time.
Yeah.
Of any human on the planet. They have eaten the same piece of cold chicken.
Yeah.
At least 40 times that day. It's the worst to eat on set. And I didn't know that in my first season. I've never done anything on screen before. So I wrote a scene where I was eating curry.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And the director didn't like the way the curry looked.
Oh, no.
Because it was brown, so... And the props department was very unprepared, so all they had to make it look better was ketchup and mustard.
No!
So we put ketchup and mustard in a cold curry.
Oh, Tim.
And I had to eat like 40 bites of it.
Fuck off! That wasn't the refugee stealing scene. Yeah, right. I thought so! You can see. You can see that you are, like,
not
you, like, the caution with which that spoon is approaching your mouth. It's because by that point it's truly a type of torture. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why in movies, if you look at dinner scenes, no one bites anything.
Yeah. I've got a new question. Talk to me about the last time you remember being incredibly hungry or incredibly full.
Incredibly hungry. I mean, that is going back to when I started.
Yeah.
And there was a week where I could only afford ginger. And so I just ate raw ginger.
Just raw ginger.
3 days.
Tim.
And because it fills you up. It's so spicy, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's cheap, but yeah.
That's a mad thing to... not for very long. It's just a little knobbly root.
Yeah.
That's not enough for a man's tum.
No.
Oh, my God.
Not for anyone's tum.
No, and actually, the prospect of, like, chomping it... It's quite burny on its own, raw ginger.
Well, I like spice.
I like spice, but
that's fine.
And I bet you didn't get any colds.
So do you like spice?
Yeah, I really like spice. I
believe it when I see it.
Oh, I can't prove it to you today.
No.
I really promise I do. What was eating like growing up for you?
I mean, it's good to
eat up. Do you go in Canada?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. Your face. Oh, what have I done?
You can't see this, but I'm trying to kill her with my eyes. How dare you?
Oh, no.
North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, Southern Jew.
Okay.
So, I mean, Mom's a good cook.
Yeah.
It's a lot of meat.
Right.
My grandfather would try weird things. My grandfather would try anything. The most memorable one I can remember was he tried to cook something called mud chicken.
Oh, God.
Which you build a bonfire and you cover a chicken in mud or clay.
Do you take it
in the bonfire.
Okay.
And the bonfire is supposed to cook the clay and the chicken.
Yeah.
So it cleans the chicken and it cooks it.
Right.
It did not work at all. And we just got muddy ground chicken. So that's one. My neighbor tried to do it. She found a recipe for it. Supposedly you could cook fish in the dishwasher.
What?
Which...
I can almost smell that from here, all those years ago.
It is how we found out our dishwasher was broken. I mean, it didn't cook it at all.
Yeah, no.
Which I think might have been a blessing.
Yeah, thank fuck.
Because I feel like if it didn't cook it, it would just ruin the dishwasher. Not what you want your dishes to smell like.
No, for the rest of their lives. Yeah. And the rest of that life of that. Oh, my God. And you don't even like fish. That was the one thing on your list not to get you.
Yeah. You
try
not to be picky, but
yeah. Yeah. Were you ever picky as a kid? Was that like an option?
I don't know. I've always been... Except fish, which I just like. Fish makes me gag.
Yeah,
like,
fuck that.
I just physically can't do it. But yeah, I'll eat anything. I'm happy to eat anything. When I was in high school, I wanted to be a circus geek, which I'm the people that eat anything. And I thought that would be fun. And then I tried barbecued maggots.
Oh, God.
And on the day, I just vomited all of them. Like, as soon as I ate it, I that ended that dream.
Yeah, that ended that dream.
I used to eat ants as a kid.
Right, for fun.
They're good.
They're sour?
Yeah.
What? Like a Haribo?
Like little chewy Haribo. Juicy Haribo.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm just getting an overwhelming impression that you're going to be fine in the apocalypse.
I mean...
just happily throwing around some muddy raw chicken and some delicious Haribo and...
human cannibalism like that. Like so good, like too quickly. Wait.
I normally wait until way further into this podcast to ask people if there was no other option, would you eat a person? Yeah. And you've just gone there, just way before the question. Way before everyone else is eating humans. Tim's in there, just slowly, just following someone around with a butter knife going, come on, come on, stay still, stay still.
Why is you taking so long?
Could you do me a favour? Could you roll in that mud?
I'll go to the mud.
Quickly, now get in that dishwasher before the electricity goes.
Yeah, and also, even human is a team coding exercise. That'll bond you so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people think that if you spit on your palm and shake hands, that you've become some kind of soulmate with someone.
Yeah, so what if you just eat the palm?
Yeah. I mean, if you ate a whole buttock, that's it. Then you're basically married. Yeah.
And that's the point you would eat.
Yeah, I think so. The butt.
Button size.
Button size, yeah.
I think.
It's got to be the juiciest bit, hasn't it? No one's messing about with any, like, stringy old necks. I just made myself... Yeah. I made myself do an involuntary, like, not full gag, but the back of, like, a shudder went up my back. It's so fashionable at the moment to have a big, juicy butt, and that has gone against people when it came to the apocalypse and being near you if you were pecking.
I always wondered, like, would an implant... boiled meat.
Yeah.
Or is it like packaging? Like, you know.
Like a Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they take the fat from the stomach and put it in the ass for that. So it's all from the same source. Oh, God, I am making myself feel a bit woozy. Yeah. Shall we have some pudding?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey team, it's me interrupting this brilliant episode with Tim Renkow to have a look at some of your frankly beautiful responses to the questions we've asked you over on Twitter and Instagram. If you're hearing this and thinking, I didn't get asked, then you're not following the podcast, you wally. It's at the Hoovering Pod. Get on that quickly now. Okay, so first things first, we had one more belter come in response to the question, have you ever eaten anything intended for an animal, or have they ever eaten anything intended for a human? It came in on Instagram from a brilliant Instagram user called Me4Queen. And I'm going to play these voice notes now and hear them with you for the first time ever.
Okay. Story about the time we ate animal food, and all my family did too. I had just had a baby. We were staying with my mum and dad because they're amazing human beings. And they were kind of looking after us, you know, amazingly. But about sort of 2 weeks after I'd given birth, I was like, I want to make something, you know, I want to properly cook something and like do something nice for everyone. So I found this recipe in the newspaper, in like in the old days, and I was like, yeah, that looks good. That looks suitably like fancy. It was sort of like these mince dumplings that were like wrapped in cabbage. It's Ukrainian. I think it's called like gilamki or something. I can't remember. Needed some mince.
Oh God, I'm so nervous about the mince.
Got mince in the freezer. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to get the mince. It's 24 hours in advance. Obviously, had to defrost it all. Got everything ready. Got all the other ingredients. We're looking at sort of 4 hour cook and prepare time, which is quite a long time, I'd say. But, you know, I wanted to do something faffy. And anyway, defrosted the mince. It's quite a big bag. I was like, oh, it's a lot of, yeah, anyway, whatever. Defrosted it all down, started to prepare the dumplings, sort of rice and meat mixed in, and then you put it in the oven for like 2 hours. We all sit down to eat, and gotta say, like, I was looking for a bit more of a sort of immediate reaction to like the first mouthful, you know. But yeah, everyone just looked quite thoughtful, I'd say. Thoughtful and a bit maybe just confused, like they didn't know what was happening in them bells. The texture was the first, you know, that was just the immediate thing. It was a strange texture. Taste was like okay, but it's hard to separate that from the texture. When my brother-in-law very kindly, generously was like, maybe the rice is a bit al dente. I was like, absolutely not. It's been in the oven for 2 hours. It's not al dente.
Oh God.
And just couldn't work out like what this such a strange mouthfeel was.
Oh God.
Turned out the mince that I'd used, or that I thought, you know, what I thought was mince, my dad was like, oh, it was that freezer, or like that drawer. I'd taken out the wrong bag, the bag I had taken out, and lovingly put into these tiny individually wrapped dumplings. It was dog meat. It come from the butcher. And it's the sort of odds and ends, like the stuff that nobody eats. And that mouthfeel was tiny, crunched up bones. Because it had all been through like the mega blender. And it is definitely not meant for human consumption. So it's just tiny bones. That's what we were eating. And I think I cried. I sort of deleted it from my memory now. But it was, yeah. It was not the intended result of a 24-hour kind of cooking project. There you go.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Although I must admit, there is a little bit of sick. It's not going to come out, but it's moved from my tummy, I'd say, to sort of bottom of my throat from listening to that. I knew something bad was coming, but crunched up bones as a series of words in a row has, I think, probably changed me indefinitely. Christ, that is a good one. That was a fucking good one. Oh, dear. Okay, the next question I asked you, heroes, was, what's the most interesting thing you've eaten in transit or seen someone else eating in transit? Now, I'm not going to discuss all the entries. I'm only going to cover a few here. I have to say, you guys, some of you sent me stories about liquids and solids that people have eaten that human bodies produce. And that, I'm sorry, is too disgusting to share. But I'm not going to say, don't send me those stories, but I'm not saying that out loud. We've just already witnessed a story about somebody eating bones, crunched up bones, and we're in the middle of a podcast with a man who's obsessed with cannibalism. This is a fucking weird one. Okay, so the other thing I've noticed, I've got a lot of messages of you seeing people eating in transit. I'm going to say, my audience, it turns out, are ham shamers. A lot of people really don't want to hear about people eating ham in public. You hate seeing a woman eat ham in public. I've eaten ham in public, and I'm going to say it, noted. Didn't realise how weird that was to all of you lot, but also maybe, please may you calm down. I'm going to share a few here, and we'll get back into the podcast. O'Brien Jules, probably called Jules O'Brien on Instagram, says, woman in car opposite me in an Aldi car park was drinking a pot noodle once. Sorry, Jules, I like the woman. I like her. I like the cut of her jib, and I like the way she was eating that. Very hungover. This is from Ray Ray 138. Ray Ray 138. Very hungover after a gig. Met some friends for pints and foods the next afternoon. The food didn't happen. Got pretty drunk again. My train broke down like 200 metres out of the station. Oh God, that's the worst. We had to sit there for 2 hours, and we were half on a bridge, and it was unsafe to get off. And the guy opposite me ate a
full Indian takeaway. Poppadoms, bhajis, the lot. I was so jealous I could have cried.
Well, I think you're amazing, RayRay138, because I think I would have cried. Thank you for these brilliant answers. There are so many more. We'll get into them in future episodes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep responding to the questions. Keep your eye on social media to see whether more questions are coming all the time. Right, let's get back into this pretty grotty but luckily very funny episode.
Are you ready?
Nah. I am at home with my partner is. And I feel like that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's easy.
That's how I am.
Really?
Like we're on the beacon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God. It's impressive.
Because, like, cooking's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, spring doesn't like me.
Okay.
And then we just don't get eggs. Just for no particular reason.
Just can't be bothered. Just generally taken against eggs.
And then we don't, well, they're just so difficult.
Yeah, fair enough.
I could see only has one hand with
it. Yeah.
And I,
that's true.
I'm not opening an egg.
You're not opening an egg.
And then we just don't like milk that much.
So fair enough. We might as well be.
Vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're like in a restaurant or whatever,
yeah,
anything goes.
I'll kill anything.
You won't catch him breaking an egg, but he'll kill and eat his neighbour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not an egg, but a soul. No problem.
Less messy, yeah. If anything. You get less of that sort of gunky stuff on you.
It's like less fragile, so there's, like, you're always going to get it in the pan. I've never even I have tried when me and my cousins went up to the mountains when we were like 8.
Yeah.
And we got into a gross thing we can eat, and that's where we discovered ants.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
Until one bit my cousin's throat way down. And no one felt bad for him because he deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was trying to eat the ant. And the ant, finally.
It's self-defense.
Yeah, it was a completely reasonable act of biting by the ant.
But we got grosser and grosser. And we tried to eat an eyeball.
Okay.
A fish eyeball.
Oh, no, thank you.
No.
No.
It's gross.
What's it, slimy?
I just vomited.
Yeah. And the worst thing is you're vomiting ants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're having to look at what you've
ants
done again.
And eyeballs.
This is the grossest episode I've ever done.
Good.
I've been doing this podcast for 5 years, Tim, and I want to doff my cap because this is fucking right. Look how chopped you are with that accolade. Yeah. Have you ever had a romantic meal? Let's talk about, until today, the most romantic meal you've ever had.
No, I mean, there's no...
Nope.
There's no video of it, but when I eat, it is gross. Like, I am not a sex eater.
I don't know if that's a thing, like, actual sexy eating. Do you think, like, I know that people, like, kind of joke suck off a galaxy ripple in a bath as part of an advert, but even then I find it silly. Like, I've never once watched someone eating and thought, I've got a semi, never.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I feel like that happens to me sometimes.
Yeah.
I eat so gross. When people are eating romantic meals with me, I'm like, ugh. I don't like this. No.
No.
No, I eat like I'm in prison. So I feel like a romantic meal is wasted.
Fuck me, I haven't laughed this much for so long. Have you ever had an event, I think by this I mean like a wedding or a funeral or a birthday, where the eating was particularly memorable? God, I'm almost nervous about your answer.
A wedding.
Yeah, a wedding. Your wedding?
Now, I mean, this is a cute story, so I refuse to take it. We got married in lockdown.
Yeah.
So, like, was a blessing, actually, because we wanted a small wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted a courthouse wedding.
Right.
And then my aunt invited herself.
Oh, okay.
And you can't just have one aunt. So he just had to invite all the aunts.
Yeah.
And all the uncles. And then the cousins. And it's like, fuck, now we need people we actually like there, too. So it ballooned to like 140 people.
Oh, fuck, a proper wedding.
Too really quick.
Yeah.
And then lockdown happened. It was fucking awesome. So no one could come. So we had 6 people.
Perfect.
My wife got really excited and she ordered 70 cupcakes for 6 people. And then no one wanted them. So we just ended up eating cupcakes for like 3 weeks. And like, we got, like, they were just too many cupcakes, and they were really sweet, so we have neighbors, little kid neighbors upstairs, so we gave them a box of cupcakes, and for the next 2 days, you could just hear the sugar running back and forth.
Like, what have we done? And now you live beneath some pre-diabetic children.
Yeah. We're just waiting for diabetes. We'll meet cupcakes or people.
Yeah.
People
filled cupcakes. We've come full circle to Tim's cannibalistic dream.
Quick fire questions.
Ian says cannibalism.
Have there only been any foods that you hated that now you love?
Oh, I'm sure there have.
Doesn't matter if there are.
Oh, guacamole.
Guacamole, that's a great one. Oh, I can't imagine not liking that, but I can imagine. It's a bit sloppy.
You don't like avocado.
Oh.
But guacamole.
Okay. Love to hear it. Tell me about food that you won as a prize or were given as a gift.
I did this podcast called Hoovering.
Okay, next question. Have you ever eaten a whelk?
What's a whelk?
That's a no.
It might be a yes, though.
Oh, it's like this little shell, like circular thing. It's like that big, like as big as a bottom of a can of drink. And it like suckers into things near the sea or under the sea. And you pull it off
like
and they call it... Yeah, they call it the foot of the sea because it's like a really strong
muscle.
No,
but I just heard somebody talk about
it. Oh, did you? It's
how
great.
Good it was.
Oh,
like, not how good, how it was a delicacy.
Yes.
Because I'm listening to a podcast. By coincidence, I'm listening to a podcast about a whaling ship that went off course and where people had to eat each other.
Okay, I think I see what's happened here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, moving
I
on.
I only consume cannibal content.
Now it's time for the big then question.
It's time for your last question. Someone tries to use a dustpan and brush to tidy up a liquid spillage, and it causes the entire human race's interfaces to glitch, and we all start being able to speak only in screams that are so loud that anyone standing within 20 metres of you full on fucking explodes. Some cunts go nuts for this, as you can imagine, and it's a terrible, terrible, really bad apocalypse. Tim, it's agreed to not do this, but only if you, and it does have to be you,
play 9 million games of Rummy Cub against my Auntie Kathy with no breaks, and the whole time you have to list the names of famous animals. You're of course allowed to say the same ones again and again, so at various points you find yourself just saying Flipper, Lassie, Willie, Willie, Willie on a loop for upwards of 4 hours at a time. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. You are the man who saved us all from an exploding apocalypse from our own screams. Your reward is the adulation of all people for all time. You go down in history as a god, but your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. This is not like a last meal, because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier, because your mouth's been busy for maybe like a day and a half, because you've been listing animals, famous animals.
I mean, I'm a conservationist, so I figured if this already, like, theoretically, there would be a bunch of humans that exploded already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you gotta do something with that.
Yeah.
So just make that into a chili.
A nice chili.
Taco chili.
Human taco chili.
But that's only because I'm a conservationist.
I understand. Yeah, what? Yeah. Unbelievable that you stuck to your ethics throughout this situation.
Yeah.
You're given a fantasy meal situation and still you are a planet-loving environmental...
Yeah, it's only for the planet.
Extinction Rebellion to the end. That is you,
Tim. Except the rebellion part, just extinction. Yeah,
just the extinction, just keen on the extinction. Extinction, that's your version. Yeah. Kill them all. Tacos, nachos. Really nice. And with guacamole, which you do like now.
Yeah, actually, what is that game you said?
Rummy Cub.
Yeah.
You get like 14 tiles and there's four different colours and you try and find... It's a bit like a card game, but instead you play it with these little tiles. You try and find runs and like runs of the same number.
Yeah, I think I see it on tape.
It's like the first few times you play it, you're like, this is such boring shit. And then you like get your eye in and it's really addictive. Yeah. But my Auntie Kathy's really good and she makes up her own rules as she goes along, like if it's not going her way.
Nice.
Now we've got a bit of extra context, like, you realise why it might have taken so long to play those 9 million games with her.
So I'm not... Oh, my mouth just hurts. So the other option is just a smoothie.
Yeah.
It's the human gut smoothie.
Yeah.
I think that's probably...
Yeah. Nice. Great. And the human smoothie to put in.
What if I don't want to save humanity?
Are you opting out of the scenario?
Not the scenario. I'm just letting everyone else die.
Okay. And just leaving just you?
Yes, me.
Yeah, okay.
So I can eat anything I want?
Yeah. Great.
And I feel like I have enough entertainment to live. I need to think of 9 million famous
animals.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's probably going to take the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
I like that scenario.
Yeah. Thanks for doing my podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me promote my show with pure cannibalism.
Hoovering Podcast.
Oh my gosh, Tim is the best man and the naughtiest man, but a wonder man. That turned out to be quite a lot of cannibal chat, actually, didn't it? I hope everybody's okay. Are you okay? I think I'm okay. Tim's definitely okay. Tim's thriving. He's just a sick pervert. You've got to watch his sitcom Jerk if you haven't already. It's all on iPlayer and the brand new Series 3 is coming out on the telly and on iPlayer on the 13th in just a few days' time. It's so good. And unlike everything Tim just said just there, sitcom-wise, it's very much the right side of history. Follow him on social media at Tim Renkow Comedy. He is a force. He is a beautiful force. And I think he's excellent. See him live if you can. He's also, like, just the most extraordinary stand-up. Why don't you come and see one of the last ever Wench shows if you want to see me do stand-up, or come and see me do some work in progress. Lovely business, thank you. Tickets to everything that I'm doing live, as per, are available on my website, jessicafosterq.com.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Foster Q. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Foster Q. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.